The Daily Douchebag Pledge.
Two douchebags and a microphone pledge. I, Joe or Jane listener, hereby promise to download every show. I, Joe or Jane listener, hereby promise to grab family members' phones and download the show from there. I, Joe or Jane listener, hereby promise to go to public computers and download the show from there. I, Joe or Jane listener, hereby promise to laugh at all the unfunny jokes. I, Joe or Jane listener, hereby promise to lie to all my friends and tell them how good the show is. And finally, I, Joe or Jane listener, promise to visit Montrose, Missouri to take advantage of the power plant, campgrounds, and junkyard all within its quarter mile radius.
Here at Two Douchebags and a Microphone, we don't stand behind our journalistic integrity. Go ahead and assume we got the story wrong. At least we admit it. Not like all those other guys, we can and will lie if it makes the story better.
Two douchebags and a microphone.
We talk Kansas.
Hi all, this is Chicago. I am the most dangerous city in North America. You can't touch me.
Oh yeah? This is Kansas City here. Hold my beer, bitch.
Please remember to go to Cole's dressing room, wait 5 minutes, and scream, "Hey, there's no toilet paper in here!"
Next up, things overheard in hell.
Howard Stern just signed a 10-year contract extension.
Have you ever wondered where something came about? Have you ever looked at something and said, I wonder what the origin of that is? Well, so have we. That's why we give you the origin of...
The origin of knee-high soft drinks. Claude Hatcher overheard a route salesman enter the plant one day and describe the competitor's tall bottle as being knee-high. Knee-high originated with the Chero Cola Company in Columbus, Georgia, by Claude A. Hatcher in 1912.
Somewhere in the heavens, your great Grammy Gertrude is crying because her little Bebo is listening to this film.
Oh Lord, that man just sawed a puppy in half.
Hey there, don't worry, I have a clown nose.
That drunk guy just hit my child!
It's okay. I have a clown nose.
Clown nose! Just put one on and you can do anything. Wanna run for office? Murder people in public? Just grab a clown nose and bam! Everyone laughs.
Clown noses are sold at gag stores online and pedophile conventions. Grab one today and make magic happen.
Hello, everybody. This is Two Douchebags and a Microphone. I am Mark.
And I am Rob.
Rob, thanks for joining us. How you doing tonight?
I'm doing really good.
That's good.
Life is going good for me lately, man.
That's excellent. Really, you missed out on those big storms, I guess. They just went to the north of you?
Yeah, you were just telling me there was one. We got a little bit of rain, but...
Well, there's a vicious one.
It's still raining a little bit right now.
There's Gulf Bowl-sized hail and possible tornado and wind and stuff. Just to your north near Versailles, that's about 40 miles to the north, maybe? Something like that?
It's about 30 minutes north of us.
Okay. Not that far, but far enough to where you don't have to worry about it, really, and it's going the opposite way. So that's cool. So we had a couple around here.
Yeah, I just watch what's over ahead of me.
Yeah. Well, the lake there is completely different too, because you have distinct storm tracks, and Camdenton is really not in one of them. It's really odd. You think it would be? You think it would follow the rivers that come up there and build into Lake of the Ozarks? But actually, it follows the Osage, I believe, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It's like
they're either north of us or south of us.
Yeah, and then south would be like
Normanton. Right in the middle, so we miss a lot there. It's amazing.
Yeah, not Marmonton. I'm trying to think of what river it followed. Oh well, it doesn't matter. There's one down there, like Wheatland and Palm de Tarr, Wheatland, that whole area. They got a pretty mean one down there too. They get a lot of nasty storms. They do. And then Monette, Missouri.
Come across there and head over this way.
Yeah. Yep.
And then for some reason it'll split right around us,
and that's because of the lake, I do believe.
Yeah, I firmly believe it. It does have something to do with the lake.
Yeah, I read an article on it, and it's really weird because it's like you think more humidity from a lake would build it, but actually what it does is it divides the thunderstorm somehow. I'll try to look for that article. It was really interesting, and they're saying that's how come, you know, like the Kansas River. You know, over here we have the Tonganoxie Split, very famously penned by Dan Henry many years ago. Very famous meteorologist, I guess he was back then. I don't know, but he had a weather cricket. But he was really accurate, and he was just a real funny old man. But he had weather crickets, and he's the one that said, you know what, when a supercell is coming through Kansas, eastern Kansas, and it gets to Tonganoxie, it either goes north or south. After he said that, we were in one hell of a pattern in the late 70s, early 80s. I mean, there's just, we're just getting pummeled by big tornadoes, not like the little pain in the ass bastards we've been getting. And I hope we don't ever get any of those big ones again. And anyhow, I gotta take Mother Nature away. No more ass paddlings for her because she's really mad at us. And I'll explain here in a minute.
You think?
I think she's really mad at us. So
You said it that night.
I gave her an ass paddling, and later on that night, we didn't know.
Beating your ass.
We had three tornadoes in Kansas City, which is rare. Usually they're around the suburbs or down to the south or up to the north, but we had three of them in Kansas City that night. But we didn't know it that night. Nobody noticed them. Nobody saw it on radar until the next day, and they're like, oh, okay, that looks like a pretty tight spun little area of wind there. There's another one there, you know. So it turned out there's one in Gardner, one over on the west side of Mission Hills, like Fairway, Kansas, and all that area. And then another one that was in Prairie Village. So.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, all three of them got.
That right there is unheard of.
Yeah, Prairie Village. Never hardly really, I mean, they'll get storms, but usually they're not the brunt of a tornado touching down ever, you know. So I've decided I'm taking Mother Nature off of the list, and I'm apologizing to Mother Nature. I'm sorry, I give. Today we had a couple more tornadoes. I mean, we had like virtually no severe weather season last 3 or 4 years in a row, and like I thought, we're making it all up in 1 year, right? So
yeah,
that's, you know, I mean, it seems like seemingly every severe system that comes through spawns 2, 3, maybe 4 tornadoes somewhere around the area. So I'm gonna go ahead and take this opportunity to go, Mother Nature, I'm sorry, no more ass paddlings for you. I apologize. I don't know what I was thinking. I give. Myself and Kansas City, we give. We're sorry. So, and anyhow, later on that night, our power went out about 10:30, something like that, when the storm started hitting. And it didn't come back on till like 2 in the morning. So, anyhow, I turned my fan on so I would know that the power came back on. But I have to sleep with the fan on because of my tinnitus, you know, to kind of mask it. So I was like, shit, what am I going to do to sleep now? I'm used to the fan, and it, you know, it kind of knocking down the tinnitus a little bit. So I found this app. It's a fan app for people with tinnitus. So I turned my phone on. Sounded just like a fan. Opened up the window. Nice breeze coming in. And I slept like a baby. It was great, you know. And that fan app was good. It forced me to look for something. I'm like, man, I don't know. You know, maybe there's something online. So I went to YouTube, and then they had some continual ones. And then they have an app, too. So I went to the app, and, you know, if ever needed again, there we go. We got it. So I was about ready to go grab the generator. I didn't care what time it was. Go grab the generator out of the garage and start that bitch up. But I was afraid I was going to... It poured and there's water everywhere. And I was just like, you know, I'm just going to wait for it to come back on. If it's not on by daybreak, then I will address the whole generator thing. So anyhow, but it came back on about 2. Fan came on. I got to turn off my phone. It's about dead anyhow, so I'm glad it came on and got to charge my phone. No, you know, everything was good. So, anyhow, let's go into what we you called it the first third.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah, because we break it up in thirds.
Yeah, yeah. Well, this is the very first part. This is the first third, even though we're well into the program. You know, we had a lot of stuff to talk about. So, well, again, in the idiots throwing away money department, the Dow Jones Industrial Average just hit a record 40,000 plus. The highest record at close was slightly over 40,000, so it didn't take long for someone to figure out a demand for hats. That's right, Rob. The rage now is hats with 40,000 in large print on it. And I'm not joking you. You see these nerds walk around with 40,000 on their hat? I mean, wouldn't you be tempted to just, like, smack it off their head? Get out of here. So, someone is making bank off of these fucking nerds and these investment bankers. Yeah, I'm going to get a 40,000 hat. It's like, okay, dumbass. Yeah, you wear it your 3 times, then forget about it and leave it in the closet. And thanks for paying $50 for the piece of shit, too. So, anyhow. I think I'm going to make up hats for all occasions, though, Rob. You know, since people seem to throw money at it, right? How about a...
As well.
How about a I'm breathing one? Think that work? People walk by and go, oh, okay, you're breathing. Okay, good, good.
Actually, I think quite a few people would buy that.
Okay, we need to make one.
I really do.
Yep. How about a... Yeah, breathing one probably would. Yeah, it probably would.
You know,
people
you sell them in gas stations and stuff. Yeah,
yeah, that's true. It. Right next to the keep on trucking ones, right?
Novelty ones.
Yeah,
they go good.
I'm looking for a keep on trucking hat. The guy with the rubber arm extended. Yeah, from back in I don't know 1932, 736, whatever. So anyhow, since you know, so I think the next one I'm going to probably make, how about the DMV line? You know, you reach for your trusted old waiting in line hat?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, there you are in line, but that way people, you can clarify it, right? And if anyone's wondering what you're doing, they can just read your hat and go, oh, waiting in line. Okay, all right, good. Well, I guess I'm waiting in line too, only I'm over here. Okay, well, good to know. So... that might be good. Or how about the granddaddy of them all, Rob? A hat with bold letters, pooping. Yeah, so now you can poop in confidence that if someone does walk in, they can read your hat and promptly leave. I think that's the best one of them all.
That's awesome.
Yeah. I would, if someone made a pooping hat on pooping hat, I would get it just and wear it everywhere. Like, right now you are? Hey, don't judge me. I gotta go. So, anyhow.
I'd wear it to work.
Oh, hell yeah.
I would.
I might get in a little trouble to wear it to work, but I would try.
I wouldn't.
No, you wouldn't. You're at a metal shop. Your boss would come up and ask you where you got it from, right?
He'd ask me if you didn't get him one.
Oh, yeah, you're right. He'd be like, hey, Rob, will you get me one? How much are they?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, you know what? We need to come up with some of these gimmick hats and put them online. I mean, if people will buy a 40,000 hat, they'll buy a I'm pooping hat or a I'm breathing hat or I'm in line hat. I'm pretty confident, right?
Hey, if T-Move could sell some of their stuff, we could sell
that. Yeah, you're right.
Good. I'm sorry, did I say that? Yeah.
Yep, you did. okay, moving along. Airbnb are having a major issue right now. Seems that several people who rented out dwellings through the service have died from carbon monoxide poisoning. So, Brian Chetsky, he is the CEO of Airbnb, said it would be difficult to make all hosts put in detectors. I have a solution, though. You know the ridiculously high-priced service fees that they charge? They could gather all them and surely pay for all these fucking carbon monoxide detectors plus golden fucking doorknobs, because those fees are ridiculous through Airbnb. So, for an example, like, okay, let's say you're going to rent a cabin like we are. I didn't rent through Airbnb because I know enough people in Eureka Springs now. We just deal with them directly, and they give us a good deal, and we don't have to go to any Priceline booking or Airbnb, right? But, okay, let's say we're going to rent a cabin out there on Beaver Lake, okay? So, it says $150 a night. Okay, that's not too bad. That's pretty reasonable for right on the lake there. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So you rent a couple of nights. So that $300 turns into like almost $450. And you're like, well, how the hell did that happen? Then you look down there, cleaning fees, service fees, all these little tic-tac things that Airbnb puts on there, and it's bullshit. So all the money they charge, they could not only put in carbon monoxide detectors in every fucking place they rent out. They could also put in gold doorknobs, too, because those guys have some of the worst. They're almost Ticketmaster bad. That's how their fees are.
Sounds to me like everyone better have bidets.
Yeah. Hell yeah. Yeah. Yeah, the ass splash. Hell yeah.
You better give me a little bit of that if I'm paying that much.
Hell yeah, yep. That soft warm water glistening off your ball sack. Can't beat it. Can't beat it. Okay, so let's see. Where the fuck am I? Okay, well, it seems as though Bob Rock and AI has written almost an entire Motley Crue album. This one will do nothing digitally. The brain deads that like the new garbage are not capable of downloading. The only loads that audience knows is what they have in their whitey tighties. Agreed?
Yeah.
Yeah. I got an email that said Rob and I sound like a couple of baboons fucking. I'm saying if he knows what that... I'm serious. I got an email that says you and I sound like a couple of baboons fucking. I'm saying if he knows... Now, Rob, now think about this. I'm saying if he knows what that sounds like, someone needs to check his hard drive right now. Don't you agree?
Yeah, I don't think we're the problem at that point.
No. Clint from Maryville, I guess Missouri, if he's telling the truth. This could be the same guy that was giving a shit for so long about just stop, and I kept saying, yeah, you know, it's easier for them to quit listening to us, remember? It could be that guy. We sound like a couple of baboons fucking. Okay, all right. I think that's pretty cool myself. I mean, I like that better than goat noises, don't you?
I think our assholes are like that, too.
Yeah. So, you know, yeah. So, Clint from Maryville... We need to come up there and check your hard drive, because if you know what baboons fucking sounds like, you're into some weird shit, and we need to check. So, all right, moving right along. Iran. So your president was killed? He died in a plane crash, I think, yesterday, right?
Yeah.
And also, like, the prime minister, a bunch of them died. A bunch of the government officials. You should go arrest your vice president immediately because he was not on that plane. Trust us. Sincerely, John Fitzgerald Kennedy. Too soon?
Too soon.
Okay, so
you should wait until at least tomorrow night for that.
You know what? You're right. I apologize, audience. I didn't mean to make a Lee Harvey Oswald, Lyndon B. Johnson, John Kennedy joke. I'm very sorry. It was just too soon. So a bear in Colorado was stuck on a light pole. They tried everything to get the bear to come down. They even did this, and I'm not kidding you. They played Black Sabbath really loud, but the bear didn't seem to mind. I have a better idea, animal control. You should have played YMCA and We Built This City. Those two songs have been known to make all bears come. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. So, they did. I'm not kidding you. They said it on the news, and I could hear Black Sabbath, I believe it was Iron Man, blaring. And the bear's just sitting up there, kind of almost head bobbing. He didn't seem to care. So, Eddie, I don't know who came up with that idea. Hey, play some Black Sabbath. He'll jump down immediately. So, to turn the shit up, maybe. What was that? What was that, Smokey? Yeah. What? Down? Up? There you go. Security lapse in the washing machines network used on campuses all over the country let students nationwide wash their laundry for free. And they discovered a glitch, so they showed students undercover there. They had an undercover camera, and they were taking their laptops in there and breaking the code and getting their laundry done for free. And this is a system that's used on all major campuses across America. The word got out, so people are doing it everywhere. A couple of University of California students discovered the glitch in the app being used to pay for your laundry machine usage. You see, so now students are trying to break into the kale vending machines. Man Bun Guy would love free kale.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I think now one of them needs to break into some soap dispensers. Agreed?
Definitely.
Yeah, yeah. And kale vending machines? I hope that's not true. Ugh. Okay, anyhow. Burger King was founded in 1954. Burger King wasn't just popular for their Whoppers. BK used to be the destination for children's birthdays. The restaurant used to give free birthday cake. I vaguely remember this when I was a kid. I remember, like, neighborhood. This is back when I was in Northeast Kansas City in, like, maybe 5, 6, something like that, right? And I remember, like, friends down the block are like, hey, we're going to go down to Burger King and get the free cake and have a couple of, Junior Whoppers. I don't even think they had Junior Whoppers then. Probably just Whoppers or whatever and some fries. And I remember that a little bit. I remember a little bit of that. So it ended a long time ago. So, you know, they used to give out free birthday. It was birthday cake for a children's birthday party, right? So,
yeah.
This, you know, this may be cake.
They used to have the crowns, too.
Yes, I remember that. And we used to wear the crowns.
Crown.
Yep. Yep. And if you remember this, Rob, I'm going to give you extra credit. You remember the paper swords they used to give out?
Okay, those I don't remember.
They did it for maybe a year. And they're like, well, they're cardboard. They were cardboard swords.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and we would, like, you know, have, like, cardboard sword fights and stuff, you know, so. You know, this made BK a hot spot for children's birthday parties. Burger King has long since stopped, of course. So for BK's 70th birthday, it is offering up for a limited time birthday pie for dessert. Sounds good, doesn't it?
All right. Yeah.
Snot rags, disinfectant, and cooties are not supplied. Cooties. I went there. That's right. This is the only program you'll ever hear say cooties ever again. Cooties. Look them up. If you can. I don't know. Okay. There's a new prank being played on unknowing cell phone users. It is a device you could purchase on the internet. And what it does, you can aim it at a cell phone, and it'll make the cell phone screech loudly in the person's ear. So, like, if they're having a conversation and, like, talking really loud, and it's very obnoxious, right? Because you don't want to hear what Uncle Jimmy did, or you don't care what, you know, but they're talking so fucking loud, you have to know everything that's going on, right? So, anyhow, this device is not cheap, but it works. It's a small device. You can look up on the internet. and you point it at someone's cell phone, and it will screech to where they have to pull their earbud out and stop the call. I don't care how much it is. I think I'm going to get one, as long as it's still working. Yeah. And screech someone's fucking ears out. Oh, okay, it says right here, hang on. It will set you back $250. You know, I'm looking right now, as while we're talking, it would well be worth destroying some idiot's eardrums from afar that doesn't know how to shut their fucking pie hole. So, all right, that is it with the first third. Rob, we turn to you once again to clean this program up.
Well, how clean it's going to be, because I'm going to talk about poison oak.
Ugh, okay. Don't wipe your ass with it and don't eat it.
Do what?
Don't wipe your ass with it and don't eat it.
Oh.
That's my advice for today.
Well, how far would you go to avoid a rash from a common pest on heights? Well, one reporter from the Wall Street Journal has gone as far as the... Oh, don't do that.
What? What's up?
My phone. I got pulled back.
You want to take a break and then come back to it?
No, I got it.
Okay.
Well, one reporter for the Wall Street Journal has gone as far as to blend poison oak into smoothies and mix them into a salad bowl, all in a bid to develop an immunity towards the chemical irritants found in the plant's leaves.
I get it, like snake venom or spider venom. Brilliant.
Yeah, kind of, yeah.
Brilliant, really.
Jeff Horowitz, who usually reports on technology, wrote about his slightly mad mission for a feature article in the Saturday newspaper. I started eating poison oak in January when the first buds began to swell on the hazardous plant's bare stems, he wrote, explaining that he was sick of getting poison oak rashes during mushroom foraging trips in California.
Yeah.
And surprisingly, despite some stern written warnings he came across during his research, Horowitz's newfound habit of eating poison oak seems to have built up a resistance to the shrub and its plant resin, urushiol, I guess, U-R-U-S-C-H-I-O-L.
Okay.
Also found in poison ivy and sumac, and which causes the rashes.
I guess that was the ingredient that causes rashes, is that it? Is that what they're talking about? Yeah, okay.
It's that chemical.
Okay.
After ingesting an increasing amount of poison oak leaves in his smoothies and salads, the taste of young poison oak is surprisingly mild, grassy, and only a little bit tart, he notes. He didn't get any signs in his body that it was stressed out from the experiment, except for red rashes here and there. He also experienced an itchy butt, presumably from pooping out the lemon.
You know, Rob, that will work, you know? And here's why. Okay, whenever you have really bad allergies, one of the first things you can do is get locally sourced honey, because it has all the allergens in it. And you digest it a little bit at a time, your system is used to that and no longer allergic to it. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Same thing. Actually, that was brilliant for that guy to do that, that scientist to do it. Because I don't think anyone's thought of that before, have they?
Not especially eating it, man.
I'd be
too damn scared.
I got to watch it really bad, because whenever I get it anymore, I didn't used to get it at all, and my dad did, and I used to laugh at him, and he said, yeah, I didn't get it when I was younger either, Mark, and I was like, I'm not going to get it. Well, I get it so bad that I have to go get steroids. So,
I was totally opposite. I was that way as a kid, and now it really don't bother me.
Okay. Yeah, you see, I would have rather have had it when I was a kid, because I really probably wouldn't have gave a shit, you know. I'd scratch myself bloody raw and then run out and go run in it again. So, well, okay, well, I mean, well, is there any more to that article?
At the end,
okay, go
at
ahead.
At the end of his experiment, Horowitz says he could rub a poison oak leaf on his skin and not experience any rash breakouts.
Wow.
So, great AM, it worked.
I bet it would work on most people, actually, because that's how your body works, is like that. So, okay, you know, like locally sourced honey or snake venom, you know, you have to ingest whatever. That's why if you get bit by a snake, they want you to identify it, right? And like, you know, you go, we around here, like, you and I know a copperhead, a rattlesnake, and a water moccasin, right? We all know this, right? Because we grew up around here. A lot of people don't. So if they were out in the wilderness and they're from a city or something and they get bit by a snake, they have to ask them, they go, what did the snake look like? If we show you pictures, can you point him out? Because that means they have to give you that venom to counteract your reaction. So anyhow, yeah, I could see how that works. So anyhow, all right, thank you, Rob. Let's take our first break, which we're extremely late on, but who cares, because it's just a podcast and we do what the fuck we want. We're rebels like that, right?
Hey.
And we'll be right back. Hey, look, I think we found land. Oh my god, I think we're safe. Oh no, it's the island of horrible jokes.
NASA sent the satellite up into space to apologize to the aliens. It was called the Apollo G.
Hey there, fuckstick. You're just in time for brand new feature news nobody gives a shit about.
An Idaho man snaps 110 pencils in 1 minute, beating the old world record of 80.
Think about what's just happened. You don't know what to do. You don't know where to go. But we can tell you what you can eat.
Okay, it's post-apocalypse, and you're walking down the barren wasteland that used to be a city. You find an old can of beans lying in the middle of the road, but you do not have a can opener. What you do then is you find a patch of concrete, you rub the top of the can for 5 minutes, then you go to the middle of the can and squeeze it, and it should pop right open.
Jam X. What the hell happened? You were the generation of change. You never wanted to be one of them. Apathy spoke for you. Bump the man, bump the system. What the hell happened? The generation of angst, the generation of noncompliance, is now buying a boat? You're really fed up until someone dangled a dollar near you. Great job, Xers. Everything's ruined.
No one invited them, but they still linger.
Next time you take a dump, listen to Two Douchebags and a Microphone. It's been proven in laboratory rats to relax your anal canal. Get in comfort.
And now, Deep Thoughts with Mark.
So, if I have a glass of ice water, and the ice melts into the water, is my water then watered down? I may never know.
And I'm Rob.
And he's speaking too. Rob, do you want to get to our nipple flick, nut tap, and ass cheek bite?
Yeah, I'm kind of ready for this one.
All right, good, good.
I think it's going to be a little interesting.
Yeah, I think it will too. So, okay, this was just devised. It's friendly. It's fun. We're not trying to hurt the people. And it's just done tongue-in-cheek, like hee-hee, okay? This is nothing mean or nothing like that. Okay, so this is just random people. We would like to do it to see their reaction, but you don't do it bad enough to hurt them to where they want to come after you. They're just kind of like, oh, okay, that was weird, whatever, and then they walk on or, you know, or ha-ha with you or whatever. Okay, so now you guys got the premise of this, and all right. I'll go ahead and go first, Rob. Cool.
All right.
All right. The nipple flick I would like to administer would be to none other than John Corabi, former Motley Crue, The Scream, who else? Solo, he was in another band, but anyhow, the singer, guitarist for all of those said bands. Anyhow, I think he would be fun to give a nipple flick to, because I think he would chase you, grab you, throw you on the ground, and give you one back. Right?
Yeah, probably.
I see him in concert, his solo stuff, and he's genuinely a funny and nice guy, and I really enjoyed him. And I think he would, just by that, you know, listening, is very intimate. There's like 50 people there, and it was at this place over in Independence. And anyhow, you know, he was pointing us all out. I was wearing a Black Sabbath Live Evil shirt, and he goes, right fucking there. That's 230 pounds of rock and roll. And he points at me, and I'm fucking laughing. He's a cool guy. So, anyhow. All right. The nut tap, I think, belongs to Guy Fieri. Well, he's getting ready to eat a burnt end. He just walk up there and bap. Take a bow, Guy. Blah! Nope, you know, not mad or nothing. I like him. I personally like his show. He's probably a really good guy, but I just think it would be interesting to give him a nut tap and see what he does. He might punch you, though, you think?
He might.
Now, I guess I'm going to have to wear a football helmet. I'll wear a football helmet and smack him in the nuts. But not hard. Friendly. So the nut tap goes none other than Guy Fieri. And the ass cheek bite. I want to administer, but hold my nose while I do, Anthony Kiedis of the Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Oh.
He'd be a fun one.
Yeah, you would definitely want to hold your nose.
Yeah, you'd want to hold your nose and do it really quick and get the fuck out of there. And I think that he would have probably the weirdest reaction of everybody. He might love it and ask for another one, or he might get pissed, or he might just look at you like nothing happened and walk off. You know, I could see all those scenarios with him. So, all right, those are mine, Rob.
All right. My first one, my nipple yank, goes to Dr. Phil.
I love that one, Rob.
Just so I could look at him and say, analyze that.
Why did you do that, okay? There seems to be some sort of issue with this young man. He came over here and he grabbed my nipple and almost tore it off. Okay. Anyhow, go ahead.
Okay, my ass cheek bite. I have to bow my head in shame.
Uh-oh.
It goes to Taylor Swift. As my stamp of approval for her music.
Oh, really?
Not her. Her music. I like her music. I told you, Shannon, and she's going to turn me into a Swiftie.
Okay.
I like her music.
Okay.
I still don't like her, but I like her music.
Yeah, I get what you're saying. I'm not really a big fan of hers anymore. Hearing some of the dribble that she speaks and all that. She thinks she's...
Well, I've been listening to her older stuff, her country and stuff like that, you know.
Yeah. If she was still doing country music, she wouldn't be spouting off like this.
Sure.
Yeah, very true. Anyhow, go ahead.
Okay. Now, for my Netflix.
Okay.
I'm gonna need the keys to our handy dandy two douchebags and a microphone time machine.
Uh-oh. Okay. All right. They are, okay. Rob, look to the left of your. Are you in the duck blind studio?
Yes.
Okay. Look to the left. Okay. Do you see a paper bag?
Oh, there they are.
Yeah. Okay. There you go.
Okay. Well, I want to go back to the 80s.
Okay.
I want to give my Netflix to Sebastian Bach.
Youth Gone Wild. Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Because I want him to sound more like Lizzie Hale.
Lizzie Hale is fantastic. Too bad she's not going to keep doing that.
Oh, tell me about it, man. I watched some of the videos the other night.
She's insanely good.
Yeah, I mean, it could have been Sebastian Bach with a female's voice. I mean, I agree.
So
perfectly together.
I agree. It is fantastic. As a matter of fact, it was so good. You hear the word on the street? It made Sebastian Bach and the rest of Skid Row start dialogue again because they wanted to have a powerful lead singer like Sebastian Bach, and they have had no luck with lead singers except for Lizzie Hale, but she doesn't want to do that. She has her own career, okay? So...
Well, in one of the videos that I watched the other night, they did the introduction and then went into the song.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they when they introduced Lizzie, they mentioned how Hailstorm had just come out with a album, and that was May 17th.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, Hailstorm. Yeah, I guess Hailstorm just came out with a new album.
I didn't know. I don't keep up with stuff. I mean, I keep up with some of the artists that I listened to when I was younger. But, I mean, I like Lizzie Hale a lot, but I've never bought one of her albums. I mean, you know. But Hailstorm, I believe, is the name of her band. And she is Lizzie Hale. I guess from what I read, Sebastian Bach and Skid Row are starting dialogue about getting back together. And this was prompted, I guess Sebastian Bach heard her, and he was like, man, he just like, I guess this is how it happened. He didn't exactly say. Sebastian Bach sent him a letter saying, you need to keep her, or something like that, and they started dialogue. And now they're talking about getting back together because Skid Row wants somebody that can handle the vocals really well, prolific, like... You know, like Sebastian Bach. They're not going to have Lizzie Hale forever. They just have her for a few shows. So it kind of like made him kind of be like, you know what? Maybe we kind of do need each other, and maybe we can get along. So I think it's going to turn out into a pretty cool thing, really. So.
Yeah, but I'll tell you what, that'd be awesome if they keep her.
I wouldn't mind either. And she's a lot nicer to look at than Sebastian Bach. She's a lot nicer to look at than Sebastian Bach, right?
Yeah.
I remember seeing him in Omaha opening up for Vince Neil. And it wasn't Omaha. Well, it was the Omaha area. It was actually,
Council Bluffs?
Yeah, Council Bluffs. It was at the casino just past the Missouri River in Council Bluffs. And they have like an amphitheater there, an outdoor amphitheater. And Sebastian Bach was where, I mean, he doesn't have the same shape that he used to. He's thick in the middle and kind of lumpy. And he's wearing these fucking leather pants I thought were just going to have a blowout at any time. And it was like 90 degrees and hot and humid. And he was sweating ham chunks. I mean, he sounded great, but I was like, how the fuck can he wear those? I don't know how he moves with those on. I mean, it looked like he painted on leather pants. I mean, it was crazy. I'm like going, nobody that age should get near leather pants. Except Cher when she was that age. Cher could have then. She could have pulled it off. And maybe Raquel Welch. Nobody else. Nobody else could do that. So, anyhow, he really needed to, like, invest in different clothing. But he sounded great, and I really don't care to ever see him in those leather, tight leather pants again. So, it was traumatic. Anyhow.
To be honest, I don't think I'd want to see any of them older ones in that again.
No, 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 no.
Hey, think about Vince Neil. Come on.
Yeah.
Oh, that's quite a few of them.
I saw one of the funniest memes, and it was Bon Jovi was there, and it said, "Happy birthday to Jamie Lee Curtis." Take a recent Bon Jovi picture, like maybe this year or last year, and put it up against Jamie Lee Curtis. Recent. They look identical.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I saw that, and I'm like, oh my God, I wonder how many people looked at that and didn't even realize it was not Jamie Lee Curtis, it was Bon Jovi. Oh, yeah, you know what? I mean, some people do not age well. Sebastian Bach, he probably could look better if he lost the stuff in the middle, but anyhow, you know what? If they get back together, that's fine with me, but I would rather see Lizzie Hale. So, anyhow, let's go to our second break. And let's come back with some more stuff. That sound good?
Sounds good.
Oh, I got an email I got to read. So we'll be back.
All right.
Two douchebags and a microphone. Because we all need dick jokes.
Introducing Rob Rad's new book, How to Track Your Enemy by Scent. That's right. Smell your enemy before they get you. Order this gem now and get a free virtual tour of Rob's secret bunker in Camdenton, Missouri. Also receive a free copy of his new book, How to Clean Raw Sewage for Food.
When you buy and eat half a chicken, you are secretly sharing a meal with a stranger.
Have you ever wondered where something came about? Have you ever looked at something and said, I wonder what the origin of that is? Well, so have we. That's why we give you the origin of...
The origin of Coca-Cola. On May 8, 1886, Dr. John Pemberton served the world's first Coca-Cola at Jacob's Pharmacy in Atlanta, Georgia. The drink was served as a tonic for common ailments.
I smell bacon! No, wait, it's just Mark sweating.
You need protection from fucktards? You have people coming and fucking with you constantly? You need answers? You need solutions?
Smack in the nuts!
That's right! Smack in the nuts is what you need! Smack in the nuts get rid of said losers in no time flat!
Smack in the nuts!
Available everywhere wherever you buy self-defense items.
Here are just a few testimonials from some satisfied customers.
Stupid fucksack, come to me. He talks stupid. He no let me go. Smell like sack of shit. He spit talk all over. I remember smacking balls. I use shit sack. Shit sack lie on ground. I walk off. Thank you, smacking the balls. You saved me from smelly, smelly spit. Well, I had this stupid son of a bitch come around me. He would not shut his fucking yapper for nothing. He gets up on me and he talks all stupid. And I didn't know what to do. I could not shake this motherfucker like a booger. Then I remember smacking the nuts. I pulled out old smacking the nuts, and that motherfucker went down like a sack of fucking potatoes. Thank you, smacking the nuts. You saved me once again from stupid motherfuckers.
Smacking the nuts. Don't leave home without it.
Our constant pursuit for a real knee slapper. It's strange insults from an alien. Real hilarity.
Smell something burning. Are you trying to think again?
Our constant pursuit for a real knee slapper. It's strange insults from an alien. Real hilarity.
May, your 5-year-old neighbor have all their violin lessons during all of your hangovers.
All aware of the Amber Alert, right? Well, get rid of your disinfectants and rubber bedspreads, kids. It's the all-new Amber Heard Alert System. This fantastic early warning device helps one stay dry and rid of all those annoying mattress invoices. Simply hook up to child under 6 or psychopath and wait for the running water sound. This clever machine has three distinct settings: Babbling Brook, Ocean Waves, and Roaring River for those close calls. Order today and get a free Cinnabon Renewzit cartridge.
Alright, thanks for hanging in there after all the little ha-has in the middle there. Yeah, Rob, real quick, I'm going to need to borrow you one of these evenings for about, 40 minutes. I have some more stuff that I'm working on that I need you saying a couple things on. So we'll figure that out. We'll probably figure that out after I get back after Memorial Day from Eureka Springs. Okay, I don't we're probably not going to have time until then. So anyhow, I have an email here from someone that I knew quite well, and I guess he's still living in Harrisonville. But he reminded me of something that we used to do. Okay, so this is Cliff from Harrisonville. Did you ever know Cliff?
I don't know.
I can't remember if he was around when you were around or not. But Cliff was, he always wore Wrangler jeans. He loved them. He kind of almost had
Okay, you just named three-fourths of Harrisonville.
You're right. You're right. Okay. He had white in his hair and beard when he was like 20. You know what? It doesn't matter. Anyhow.
I don't know.
All right. Well, Cliff sent me an email. He said it. And all it said was, fuck hammer. And I was like, oh my God. I remember fuck hammer. And let me explain. Okay, Cliff was one of the guys that used to go with me to Westport. I worked nights, and I got off at like 11. And we would get down to Westport about midnight, me and him both, or a little bit before. And, you know, we'd try to catch the stragglers or whatever, or have a couple of beers and just hang out for a bit. And we did this quite often. I mean, we did this probably four nights a week. You know, I was single and young. We was having fun. So, at the time, around Westport, there was still a lot of local heavy metal acts or hard rock acts going on, right? And one of them's name was Sacred, but it was spelled with a K, and we used to call them Sacred. And they had their damn flyers everywhere. You couldn't walk around anywhere without seeing fucking Sacred or Sacred all over the place, just peppered the whole place. And then there was another one called Trip Hammer. They were fucking everywhere. And it's like, that's what these bands did, was spent like 24/7 peppering the whole entertainment district of Westport with these fucking flyers, letting them know that they're playing here or they have a new album, you know. And anyhow, did you remember any of those bands at all, Rob, or were you not around? Really,
can't. Okay, well, I remember the name Trip Hammer.
Okay, they were big too.
I remember that.
I think Trip Hammer was slightly bigger than Sacred or Sacred, okay? But we got tired of these fucking bands peppering everything. So, one night, we're sitting there, me and Cliff, and I think Steve might have been along, maybe a couple other guys, Jason or somebody. But anyhow, we're all having a beer at Buzzard Beach downstairs. And I go, you know what? We're starting a band, but it's not a band. We're saying we're starting a band, and we're going to call it Fuck Hammer. Everybody's eyes light up. Yeah, Fuck Hammer. Sounds great. So we, I had a friend of mine that worked at Xerox. And he made us up a bunch of flyers. And anyhow, they were Fuck Hammer flyers. And they kept saying they're going to play at the Lone Star. They're going to play at fucking Buzzard. But, you know, wherever. I forgot some of the Fallout. What was some of the other ones? The Hurricane. We made all these fucking fake concerts up with Fuck Hammer. Okay? And it never did have a picture of anybody on it or nothing. It was just a really cool logo that we came up with. So we peppered Westport with Fuck Hammer pamphlets everywhere, fucking flyers and everything. And everybody was going to these fucking bars and entertainment places and asking about Fuck Hammer. hey, is Fuckhammer playing? And then when a couple of guys there that like were the bouncers that found out it was us that did it, man, they were pissed. They're like, you know how many people, I had to tell them that we didn't, we were not playing Fuckhammer, and we didn't even know who they were. It was funny. And anyhow, this lasted about a month of people looking for Fuckhammer. Fuckhammer never existed. We just got tired of seeing fucking Sacred and Triphammer all over the place. We would actually put our flyers over them. We'd see a Triphammer or a Sacred, and we'd put our flyer, we'd staple our flyer over it just to piss them off. So those guys are probably looking for Fuckhammer too, to kick our ass. So,
probably.
Cliff, thank you. That was fun. Anyhow, Rob, we turn to you after that great Fuckhammer story. Rob, say it with me. Say it with me. Fuckhammer.
Fuckhammer.
Fuckhammer. Doesn't that sound great?
Hey, I would have been your roadie, man.
Hell yeah.
I've been a roadie.
Wouldn't you go see a band named Fuckhammer?
Hell yeah.
Yeah. I should have, you know what, like Two Douchebags and Microphone, I should have copyrighted that name. Oh well. Anyhow, go ahead, Rob. Now someone else is getting to use Fuckhammer, probably. I don't know. Maybe.
Okay. Hollywood actor Terry Crews looks to be heading into the boxing ring to face one of the UFC's greatest ever fighters.
Okay.
Muscle-bound former NFL star has one of the most famous physiques in the world, but has limited fighting experience. However, he appears to be making his first appearance in the boxing ring on June 15th as part of a massive boxing event in Brazil. Cruz is best known for his roles in hit films and TV shows such as Brooklyn Nine-Nine and White Chicks. He has never competed in the ring or in the cage, but has trained in the past and got in shape as a result of having to fight on the streets as a youngster. Earlier this week, former UFC middleweight champion Anderson Silva appeared to be teasing one final fight, which would take place in his native Brazil. He shared a teaser video for an event called Dayton Fight Night and teased a surprising opponent. The announcement video had a caption in Portuguese which roughly translated, "Time for the Spider-Man's grand finale in Brazil."
Oh, wow.
And the farewell of a martial arts legend in his country had to come at a special occasion. Late Fight Night, Spayton's new fighting platform, June 15th, in Sao Paulo, and you watch it live at Globe, you can guess who the opponent is. And hours later, Cruz shared a post on his own seeming confirming that he was the opponent in the video. "All right, Anderson Silva, I've been training. I'm ready. June 15th, I'll see you at Fight Night Brazil, y'all."
Cool.
June 15th, let's go. Anderson Silva, me, you, let's make it happen.
Awesome.
Terry Crews here, Brazil. Silva's response was a simple one, writing in the comments of the Bible post, "See you June 15th.
Nice. June 15th, huh?
Anderson Silva and Terry Crews.
I like that. You gonna watch it?
Well, it looks like you can only get it on Globe.
Oh, okay. Then I guess I won't.
It'll pop up somewhere.
Yeah, you get to watch it on YouTube. 10 minutes after it's done, you can watch it on YouTube. So,
Oh, yeah.
Very cool, Rob. Yeah, thank
I
you.
My money would have to go on Andy's.
I think I agree with you. So, it might be a good fight, though, so.
You never know. It could be.
I wouldn't really look for it, but you never know. So, anyhow. Well, we'll see. I mean, depending on how they train and all that. And also, it's a lot about matchups, too. So, all right.
Right.
Okay, this is products that millennials and Zers refuse to buy. And they're dying off. They don't think that they're going to be around in another 30 years. Okay? So, these are ones that are, like, scrambling, trying to figure out how to get the millennial and Z attention because it's not working. So these are the products that are in the most danger. There's a lot of them, like Harley Davidson and stuff like that, because millennials and Z's don't care about Harley Davidson. But there's also some other products that are in more critical condition, because as the Xers get older and the boomers, you know, they're, you know, a lot of them are gone, a lot of them are facing it, you know. And the Xers are getting older, and we're starting to enter retirement age, right? Then after that, right, these products don't have anyone to buy them. So, okay, number one on the list, single-use plastic products. The millennials and Zs do not buy them. They buy the, like the Starbucks ones that are made out of some sort of recycled plastic that you take with you, and they give you a discount if you use that. They give you like 20% off if you use your reusable cup instead of using a cup that, you know, that that has been manufactured and go in a landfill. Okay. The next one is cable television packages. They're not buying them. They don't care about them. And also, that's money they can use somewhere else, because they all are money starved, as some of the articles that I said, I don't know, for podcasts for a long time, some of the reporting, because one of their biggest luxuries of the Z's is groceries. Instead of spending money on something they don't need, they like they beef up their groceries. They'd rather eat something nice than save up for a vacation or a better car or even have a car. So cable television packages are going out of style because they don't want to pay for them. Next one, disposable razors are in trouble with the younger generations. They don't believe in them. They think it's a waste of money and also a waste of resources when you can get an old-fashioned razor and refill it. And then you can have those razors. You can either sharpen them up again or use them for other purposes. So, or you can get the razor knife, you know, like they used to use the straight edge, and you can use those, and you can just keep you can keep sharpening it with one of those sharpeners and use it indefinitely. So
actually, I've got a couple of them.
Those things work the best. Man, they will chop whiskers like nothing. They're really good. Next one is non-organic produce. I believe that because I know a lot of Xers my age that won't buy anything except organic produce. I mean, it's been argued about how much better it is. It's just a label. Yeah. Anyhow. So, yeah, they don't believe in it. So it's going to go away, it looks like. The next one, and this one breaks my heart, because one of my happy places is that I enjoy so much to do, and it's real simple, is printed books, especially autobiographies. I just love them. There's just a certain, I don't know what it is, that I just sit there, relaxation, I guess. You know, if it rains when we're down at Eureka Springs, I'm going to sit on the porch, the covered porch that we got at the cabin, and just read. That sounds like one of the best times I could ever have. But the younger generation doesn't believe in it. You know, they all have their Kindles and stuff like that, right?
Right.
The next one, brand name cleaning products. I could see that. I could see that. Because brand name cleaning products are virtually the same as other cleaning products without the name, right?
Right.
Okay, next, traditional banking. A lot of Z's and millennials only went into the bank to start an account. Everything else is done online. And you know what? I started doing that too. I rarely go to the bank either. And this started when I used to go out of town for my old job all the time. You know, it'd be like, well, shit, I got to cash this check. Like we're in Massachusetts and I had to get a check from the actual ironworks company that you had to work for them to work in Massachusetts. So they did a little deal where we'd actually be working for that construction company. And they were giving us our checks, live checks. And I had to do online banking. And that's where you take a picture of the check and then you send it into them via email and then they cash it. So I can see that. I mean, and I bet you a lot of people do that or they have it go straight into their account like I do. So anyhow, disposable coffee cups. But this goes with what I was saying before about single-use plastic products and foam and what have you, you know. So traditional taxi services are going away. And that's a mistake to me because there are certain airports that you cannot get enough single to grab an Uber. One of them is Nashville's airport. I don't know how people get an Uber there. Everyone was in the taxi line because no one had enough bars to signal an Uber driver. So, you know, I think traditional taxis should not go away, but oh well. Non-refillable.
We got taxis down here.
Oh, that's cool. You know who does a hell
of services.
Okay. You know who does a hell of a business is Eureka Springs Taxis. Man, those guys are they are constantly busy. Because one reason is, besides people getting plastered, is the steep roads. People don't like to drive on them. You know, a lot of them are like single lane, and they curve, and there's houses, and there's dogs, and there's kids.
Yeah, it's roads narrow down there.
Yeah, so a lot of people, they'll drive to wherever they're going, like the cabin or whatever, and they'll leave their car there, and they'll just Uber the whole time where they're there. So I get it. And then non-electric toothbrushes is a final one that the younger generation is not using. So there's more, but I really didn't want to get into them. Those are the ones I thought were the most fascinating, I guess. So
all right.
Yeah. So anyhow, Rob, you got something?
Yeah, I do. Red Lobster, which filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy in Florida on Sunday night, is investigating the role its majority owner, Thai Union, played in the restaurant chain's endless shrimp promotion that caused $11 million in losses, court documents showed. Red Lobster said the debacle was part of a pattern of mismanagement by the global seafood company that owns most of its equity and supplies shrimp to its restaurants. Red Lobster, with about 550 casual dining restaurants in the U.S., had offered a $20 endless shrimp dish as a limited time promotion.
Mm-hmm.
Former CEO Paul Kenny made it a permanent year-round option in May 2023, despite significant pushback from other management team members. Some Red Lobster restaurants soon faced major shrimp shortages around the same time that eliminated two bread shrimp suppliers, leaving Thai Union with an exclusive deal that led to higher cost. Yeah, so Lobster with $294 million in debt plans to close some underperforming restaurants and sell the rest to a group of its lenders, including Fortress Investment Group.
Yeah, Yeah, a lot of it was that boob that was running it, it sounds like. But also,
yeah.
The quality. I went there maybe 3 years ago or something. And I remember why I quit going there in Golden Corrals and stuff like that. The food was inferior. And I don't know how else to put it. I mean, the only way they can offer cheap stuff like that is to have cheap products. And I went there and I was like, man, I don't care if it is cheap. I'd rather buy something that's good. I'll pay more money that I enjoy. So, it's like a little bit of everything. And also, people just don't go to Red Lobsters. They like to go to their little corner place now. Like here where we're at, just down the road is Martin City Brewery. They have what they call is a coastal restaurant or whatever. And anyhow, it's like really well known for their seafood. People go in there and they buy oysters, they shuck oysters. And they have different types of sea fish that they serve and all that. People aren't going to Red Lobster. They'll pay a little bit more and go to that coastal pub is what they call it. Yeah. Or, you know, they'll go to a specialty seafood place that isn't a chain. I mean, the same thing's going on with Olive Garden, too. People just don't believe in chain food like they used to. And, I mean, even fast food, people don't believe in that anymore. It's just like, you know, the thing is quality, and I think people have learned a lesson that you're going to have to pay more, but you will get a better product. And I think people are ready to do that, and I think that's what's going on, besides it being mishandled. You think?
Oh, I agree with you. I 100% agree with you on that.
Yeah.
The quality is not there.
No, and also, the service is shoddy a lot of times. Olive Garden, the last time I was there, a couple years ago. And this was a nicer one in Lee's Summit, right? This is the one that's well-kept and brings in some pretty good revenue for an Olive Garden. It's an upper-scale area. So, they didn't have any help. And the help they had was worthless. We barely got our food, and it was not that good. So, right next door was that new Red Lobster they built on Chipman Road. Same thing going on there, from what I understand. We never went there, but I was bitching about Olive Garden, and they said, well, yeah, Red Lobster's the same thing. I think they're owned by the same company, actually. So,
I don't know.
Yeah, well, anyhow. Let's see here. All right, Coca-Cola is celebrating the happy tears that flow during moments of real magic with its first drink sold exclusively on TikTok Shop. Coca-Cola Happy Tears Zero Sugar launches in the United States and Great Britain on Random Acts of Kindness Day, February 17th. Yeah, this is a little old. I'm just now getting to it because we had so much other stuff. And I'm trying to clean out the closet, per se, and get some of these stories I meant to get to quite a while ago. As the first creations drop for 2024, the limited edition offering combines a timeless Coke taste infused with a salty splash of minerals for taste and a sweet pinch of peach, drawing inspiration from the tears of joy brought by small everyday acts of kindness, such as sending a positive text to a friend, paying for a stranger's coffee, leaving a compliment on a post, or sharing a Coke with a loved one. This is from them. A little bit of kindness and simple, unexpected moments of connection can bring you a lot of joy, says Onia Vlad, Senior Director of Global Strategy, the Coca-Cola Company. We hope Coca-Cola Happy Tears Zero Sugar will inspire uplifting moments and friendly gestures that create a cascade of uplifting and optimism. So, anyhow, the rest is talking about how they're going to soft launch it on February 17th, and then they're going to, roughly about a month later, is going to be the hard launch, and that's where they, start inundated places with this. So it's going to start out, it's going to, they're only going to have it in certain places, and you're going to have to really go look for it. And then after about a month, you're not going to have to actively go look for it, because it's going to be everywhere. And I've not seen it. Have you?
No, I haven't.
Maybe it already flopped. Who knows? So anyhow. And I got some other stuff I want to get to, but you know what? We're not going to have enough time tonight. You got anything you got?
No, that's about all I have for tonight, to be honest. All
right. Well, let's just wrap a bow on this.
I have ready.
And also another thing, too, is I've got on this smoker, I've got a really cool smoker. It is a propane, charcoal, three-chamber, propane, charcoal, and smoke. And, you know, wood-burning smoke. So I braised off three ribs and a brisket. I have a big Black Angus prime beef brisket that is, the marbling is beautiful, that I'm going to make burnt ends and slicing beef out of. And I've got three St. Louis-style ribs on the smoker right now that I need to get to. So anyhow, ought to be good. I think I'm going to make up my own barbecue sauce on this, too. Do you ever do that, Rob?
No, I just buy mine.
Oh, okay. Well, I like to do it for different, because there's these recipes online. I think one of them's like Southern Cooking or whatever. And anyhow, they have like really, really good sweet and spicy barbecue sauce recipes, some brown sugar recipes, and it's really good. And it's cool just to do that, you know, just like try a new recipe. And if it sucks, then you grab the old Jack Stack or Kansas City Joe's out of the fridge and slop it on there, right?
Right.
Yeah, so anyhow. Right. All right, well, let's go ahead and wrap a bitch on this thing and call it good. You want to do that? Wrap a bow on this bitch.
Yeah, sounds good for tonight.
It sounds like you're wearing down a little there, Rob.
I am, but we're picking up at work, so.
Oh, okay.
I'm having to pick up the pace a little bit. So.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, that always happens, doesn't it? I mean, here it is May. You know, traditionally in manufacturing, January is the leftover from the year before that they couldn't get to. So January is usually pretty busy. February, about the middle of February, it slows down. It's usually fairly slow till about mid-May. Mid-May, it's gung-ho until probably about November. Would you say that's probably pretty accurate?
Yeah, because we consider what they call season, which is tourist season.
Oh, yeah.
Memorial Day to Labor Day.
Mm-hmm. So. And this is where people are going to be buying the shit out of trailers for their boat.
Which, actually, that's just a rough estimate. It goes longer, you know.
No, I think people got the gist to what you're saying, yes, and I agree with it. So, you know, and it's all these Xers that are buying a boat, as you can tell, right. Because we have a skit about that.
Yes. Yep.
Yeah. The Xers are running out buying a boat. No more angst for them, huh?
Right.
Yeah, they're like, yeah, fuck that angst shit. Fuck that apathy shit. I can buy this boat. So they're well-adjusted, happy people now, I guess. Alrighty, thank you, everybody. And I'm an Xer, so I can say this shit. Anyhow, everybody, thank you for listening. Have a fantastic evening. Good night. Oh, hi, Opal. Hi, Jimmy. Hi, Ricky.
Hi, Grandma. Hi, Jimmy. Hi, Ricky. Yeah, we almost forgot tonight.
Shoo. Okay, boy, that's the skin of our ass.
Nice catch, Mark.
Thank you. I got a little tip from somebody in South Central Ohio that says they know Ruth Ann and she still listens. I don't know if it's someone playing a gag on me or not, and I don't know how to prove it. So,
well, I hope Ruth Ann is still listening.
Ruth Ann, I have nothing to say. I'm done. Rob is the one that's really hurt by you leaving us. So, Rob, you got anything to say to her if she is listening, in fact?
I want her to get in contact with us, let us know. Because I'm on your side, Ruth Ann.
See, he thinks I'm an asshole for messing with you, and he yelled at me about it, too. So, I don't know why you'd punish Rob because I'm an asshole. So, Ruthann, send in a text, or not a text, send in an email. Or you could text the 517 number, 816-517-7717, I believe it is. Something like it. And, okay, that's our phone number. You can send a text in there if you want. No big deal. But if you don't want, send me an email and let us know that you still listen. I promise to lay off. I won't say anything about the Bengals anymore. I won't giggle. I won't laugh. I won't talk about little Joey Burrow hurting his fingers. I won't say anything like that ever again. I've learned my lesson, and I'm a changed man. Right, Rob?
Right.
You can tell, can't you? You can tell I'm a changed man, right?
Yes, I can.
See? So there, it's safe. I'm no longer a big meanie. What the hell did she got? A meanie?
Oh, I forget.
I'm not laughing at you. I'm not laughing at you.
It was pretty comical, though.
It was. Ruthann, we love you. Come back. If you are listening,
we do.
It could be somebody giving me shit and just trying to arouse me. I don't know. But Ruthann, if you're listening, come on. Come on back. I got my arms out. All right. Anyhow, everybody, have a good night. Thank you for listening. Good night, assholes.
Good night, assholes.
Oh no, looks like the show's over, kids. Mark has explosive diarrhea and can't afford a wireless mic. Fear not, assholes. They'll be back invading your ear holes soon.